Happy Monday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Glad to be here with you today. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, are you watching the 2024 Olympics? Yes or no? We want to know what you think about that. And I know that your answer to that question might have been different on Friday before you saw the actual opening ceremonies. I did not know that the opening, I'm not an Olympics person. I think that that is the precursor to anything that I'm going to say. It's really easy to be like, I'm going to boycott, for me, fish. I don't like fish. I don't eat fish. I don't seek out fish. I'm not looking for the opportunity. So if I'm going to like make a strong stand and say I'm not going to participate in the eating of fish, that's not really a sacrifice for me. So with that being said, I'm not mad at the Olympics, but I also do not make time for the Olympics, generally speaking. Respect the athletes. I have a massive amount of respect for the athletes and their what it takes to train to be among the very best. So where was I when this was going on? I guess I was, I mean, I came across a lot of the opening ceremonies via Twitter. And I was like, excuse me, what? It's clearly what I'm seeing. You have to be very, very cautious about coming across something on X and scrolling through and seeing a video. And your memes are really good. Deep fakes are really good. Cheap fakes aren't nearly as good as Corinne Jean-Pierre needed them to be. But here you are scrolling through the internet and you see something and you're like, holy smokes, what is going on here? So I'm looking into it a little bit more and a little bit more. And I'm thinking to myself, this looks like an orgy. That's just the first impression. That's without audio, which eventually I got to a place where I could turn the audio on. And of course, it was mostly in French. So the audio didn't really lend to me context, outside of the fact that it did seem a little more realistic. So I'm consuming these. I mean, to me, it just looked like a drag show at the Olympics. And then it, of course, culminated in the scene that everybody is saying referred to the Last Supper. To my knowledge, Brad, nobody has come out and said we were trying to depict the Last Supper. Nobody from the Olympics has come out and said.
Nobody has said that.
Nobody has said, you're correct.
That's what we were trying to do.
Nose goes. No. This was our depiction of the Last Supper.
No, they have not come out and said that. They did issue an apology, sort of.
No, they didn't. They said, we're sorry if your feelings were hurt. Which, when you're the one who has hurt feelings, that apology feels great.
Amazing.
It's always like, we're sorry you're so weak that you were so sensitive that this offended you. They don't say, we're sorry we did it. They're not sorry they did it.
No.
They doubled down and they said that they were successful in depicting what they wanted to depict. Now, let's break this apart a little bit. I'm not going to be, I had multiple people. I wasn't really going to talk about this initially because going back to basically the first thing I said today on the show, I'm not really an Olympics person. And it's not like an anger thing. I just got a lot going on in my life. I don't have time to sit down and watch it. Every once in a while, like if we have a series of rainy days, I just don't have a lot of downtime in the evenings anymore, running kids around and stuff. We don't have the time to commit to seeing the full competition. So there's not enough time for me to get invested. And my Team America? Yes. You know, USA. But I had multiple people this weekend say, are you going to talk about this on your show? Are you going to talk about this on your show? And my initial response was, no, I thought to myself, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pretend the Olympics don't exist. I'm going to go into this like it never happened. I'm going to suck the oxygen out of the room from noon to three on 97.1 and say, moving on. I'm not interested. It just seems, okay. If I'm leveling with you, I don't like arguments or social disagreements where the sides are already chosen for you and you can only select one. I want to be able to look at something and assess it for myself, analyze it for myself, come to my own conclusion and have it be mine. I don't want a predetermined, you're this or you're that, and I am forced to choose one of those things. And then if I come into the conversation later and I'm not incredibly passionate about like the Olympics, if that's the foundation that we're having this discussion on, then I feel kind of like, what am I doing here? I'm arguing for a predetermined outcome. Does anybody think I'm going to come onto the show today and be like, the French got it right? The French, they really nailed that one. Nobody thinks that. Nobody who's listened to the show thinks I'm going to come on and talk about that. But maybe there are people who are predetermined that they think I'm going to come on here and make a valiant stand for Christianity and to condemn the French or the Olympics. I mean, like, I think that there are probably people, French Christians, who are pretty disgusted with what they saw. So I don't think it's, I don't think you can be like, this is on the French. It's probably broader than that. So I wasn't going to talk about it. I wasn't going to discuss it. I was just going to pretend, you know, like Facebook and Meta does, that the Trump assassination just didn't happen. I was just going to be like that. They get away with it. Can I get away with it? And more people kept asking me, Annie, are you going to talk about this? I'm more interested in focusing on the parameters that are set up around an argument. I want to know those parameters before I participate in the argument. And I would take you back to last week. I don't know if it was Thursday. I think it was Friday, Brad, when we were talking about the border czar. Mm-hmm. Was that Friday? I think it was Friday.
Yeah.
And everybody's up in arms because now all of a sudden Kamala Harris isn't the border czar. They said she was the border czar then, but now she's not the border. Who cares what you call it? What you call it has no bearing whatsoever on what it actually was. And in a sense, I believe that the left knows that they are torched when it comes to the Biden-Harris administration's handling of the border. They know that that is a losing issue for them, so they have to make it so that anytime that that issue comes up, it's about something other than their actual action on the issue. So no, it's not really a good look to say, well, Kamala Harris was the border czar, now we're going to pretend she wasn't. But it's better than you talking about what that administration actually did regarding the southern border. So they take an issue, they reframe the parameters of the argument that automatically exists surrounding that issue, and they shine the spotlight over here, where it's not like the best thing for Kamala Harris, but it sure is better than her actual record handling the southern border and the words that have come out of her mouth regarding what should happen with the people who are coming here, people who are here, how she would handle it. They do not want you to talk about that. So they get everybody to fight over whether or not she's the border czar. It's a stupid argument. It doesn't matter. I mean, I can completely concede that Kamala Harris is not and was never border czar and still fully make the point that she is incredibly incapable of leading this country as the commander in chief, and that she has been a party of two in what I believe to be treasonous acts of opening our southern border for political purposes that they feel they will solely gain from. Don't need the name border czar in there anyway, anywhere. What does this have to do with the Olympics? What does this have to do with the opening ceremony conversation? I am a self-identified broken and disgusting sinner, saved by Jesus. That is my faith. That is my belief. That makes me a Christian. And I preface my identification as a Christian to tell you that I know that I am a broken sinner because that's what Christianity is. The covering of an infinite multitude of sins by somebody who can do that and is qualified to do that, because never would I ever be able to do that for myself. I am not perfect. I am not good. But I have been made to be. So with that being said, yes, I'm an identified Christian. That's my faith walk. I can see a lot of faith walks out there that are not Christians who would have take issue with the Olympic opening ceremonies for a lot of the same reasons. And then they kind of depart in the theology of that, or how, at least in an earthly way, the law states that we should handle sin, just in general sin. Is the word bacchanal? Is that how you say that? That's what they are calling what was depicted there. They're saying it wasn't directly supposed to be the Lord's Supper. So in this instance, in my mind, for the sake of argument, broadly, Whether or not they were depicting the Lord's Supper or not, that is the border czar of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can say, no, we weren't. And we can say, yes, you were. To which they say, no, we weren't. And we say, yes, you were. And that is a cycle that takes up time and oxygen and space while we're not discussing the actual issue at hand. What actually happened? So what we have heard them say is that this, and there's a lot of posts out there right now about this is what Greek history is and French history, and they're trying to talk about all of these things that are applicable to the moment in time from a historical standpoint. But then we're also marrying the understanding that this is a spotlight, a reflection of Greek Olympic history married with French history. But then we hear that the person who put the show together was very, very important that he focus on the idea of inclusivity, inclusion, to show that all people can enjoy the Olympic Games. Which is a side note, yes, all people can enjoy the Olympic Games, but there is really not a more exclusionary global event than the Olympics to say, no, you are the best in the world. You are better than everybody else at discus or running or swimming or diving or whatever it might be. A bacchanal is, and that's what they said that they were showing. And if you listen to this description, I'm reading it from Google, a very right-leaning entity. If you listen to this description, you can understand how just through the basic visual of what we're talking about here, we're talking about a party, a festival, a meal, of which the Lord's Supper was definitely a meal. I wouldn't really necessarily say it was a party. I mean, there was an impending tragedy that was about to take place, and the person at the center of that picture knew that that was about to take place, and he was telling people it was about to take place. But what they were saying they were trying to throw back to the Roman festivals of Bacchus, the Greco-Roman god of wine, freedom, intoxication, and ecstasy. So let's just, for the sake of conversation right now, completely remove the argument, not taking a position here or there on the idea of they were trying to, in your face, give the middle finger to the idea of the Lord's Supper. Because maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I don't think that that's an argument that can ever, there's no end to that argument. There's no way you can prove that it was or it wasn't. We all have our opinions, and I can see how those who believe that it was a depiction of the Lord's Supper, how you're justified in that thought. Let's set it all aside right now, because for the sake of what Christians have been called to speak on regarding this issue right now, the idea of a festival of Bacchus is inherently against God's will for his people. Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't abide by those rules. That's totally understandable in a secular, ungodly setting of which most of global history exists in. The exception to the rule is some sort of Christian faith. To subscribe to the Christian faith is, generally speaking, a constant exercise in the denial of the world. Over and over and over again, failing over and over and over again, and knowing that you have a grace that is made to be yours beyond your measure, that's the magic of it. That's the beauty of it. That's the grace of it. What the Olympic Committee chose to portray, we know, because they've said so, is this festival of Bacchus. And when you listen to the director talk about how it was incredibly important for them to share a message of inclusivity, the message of inclusivity that they chose to share was one that is diametrically opposed to the Christian faith. The idea of, you know, I've heard people say, you know, it's supposed to be a celebration of fertility. You can't look at the image that was depicted in these Olympic ceremonies and see that it's a depiction in fertility. It was a depiction in sexuality. And I think that you and I both know that the difference, there might be a Venn diagram where sexuality and fertility intersect, but there's a lot of space where it doesn't. If you want to depict something like that, and you want to be inclusive, you do not choose what the director of the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games chose to depict. You just don't do it. It's absolutely within reason for people like you or me to see that and go, wow, that really looks like the Lord's Supper. What the heck are they doing? Why is there a child there? What is, you know, going on with the people who they're choosing to highlight? Was it inclusive? Because it actually very much so became exclusive. And in the moment where you have an audience of what I understand is maybe billions of people watching the opening of the Olympic Games, what they tried to do was teach the world a lesson. They tried to use that opportunity to be exclusive and forward with a disagreement that our current culture has with the ideals of Christianity. And here's where I want you to pay very close attention. If you are listening to this and you are a Christian, if you are listening to this and you know and love a Christian, if you're listening to this and, folks, you do not have to have a Christian faith to look at what was depicted there and feel a moral sense of disgust. The over-sexualization of the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games is a very important and permanent mark in our culture of where we are right now. The understanding that you can put something like that in front of the eyes and ears of children who will be watching this event. So long gone are the days of, you know, drag shows are for the entertainment. I know lots of people who have gone to drag shows for bachelor parties or bachelorette parties, so on and so forth. And it's considered adult entertainment, to each their own, whatever. In a secular society, everybody's free to do what they want. Starts happening in school libraries. And you're kind of like, but why? The idea of demeaning sexuality into something incredibly casual, accessible to anyone at any time of any age, and appropriate to present to the world as entertainment in the way that the Olympic Games chose to do it. This isn't about the French. This isn't about the Olympics. This is about culture. And this culture is in your backyard right now. It was before the opening ceremonies. It will be after the Olympics are far from over. This is real. And I'm, you know, setting aside right now the understanding that I do speak to a broad audience, not everybody who is Christian like myself. I respect that you have your own walk of life, your own walk of faith. I choose to share mine because it is foundational to who I am. And I do want to make sure that I overemphasize that I'm not intending to be preachy here in any way, shape, or form, but this is who I am. You are never going to wake up a day in a broken world where Christianity has it easy. To believe in something like the Christian faith, to believe in the need for a savior to come wipe away all of the sins of the world, you better believe that the counter to that exists. You better believe that there is something out there constantly trying to win that day, win that minute, and that evil is something that is truly real. And evil doesn't always look like a demon that is coming to prowl upon you or me or anybody. Evil is anything that doesn't glorify God. And I look at the Olympic Games and I'm like, well, of course. But it's not the only instance. It shouldn't really be shocking to people who are walking the Christian faith. This stuff is everywhere. And it's so casual that it became commonplace for the Olympics to celebrate it. And if we turn off the Olympics, and I do not care at all if you watch the Olympics or if you don't watch the Olympics, I do care if you vote in today's poll, because that's the question. If we think that we're going to turn the Olympics off and really stick it to the people who did this, and that's where this fight ends, then we haven't even really begun. And I want to make sure that people understand that. What was reflected in the Olympic opening ceremonies was just a pretty bold depiction of things that are with us, around us, every single day. As a Christian, that's how I see it. Do I think that we should be legislating things in and out? I think we should be protecting our kids. But the idea that there was a child sitting at that table took it to a whole new level for me. Would love to know what you think. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll today. Do you intend to watch the 2024 Olympics? I would love to hear what you think. Leave your comments. We'll get to some of those too when we come back. We're excited to have on the show today Steve Moore in the 1 o'clock hour and Tom Homan. I'm going to talk to Tom Homan about the border, Kamala Harris potential presidency. Does she get a pass on the border? Is the current border situation on her to own? Tom Homan will join us. He, of course, is the former acting director of the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement. You know him as ICE. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Anything but an apology. In fact, it's kind of a masterpiece of woke duplicity. And so I just wanted to say a few things, because if they felt this is meant to mollify Christians, I would think again. Here's some of the things that were said. Clearly, there was never an intention to show disrespect to any religious group. Give me a break. So we have a group of drag queens cavorting in a kind of sexually provocative way, clearly an imitation of Da Vinci's Last Supper, which presents to the world the Last Supper of Jesus. And no disrespect was meant. You think anyone takes that seriously? I love this. We tried to celebrate community tolerance. Yeah, tolerance. Except for those pesky 2.6 billion Christians on the planet. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's tolerated all this lovely diversity until you get to anyone that disagrees with your ideology, like these 2.6 billion people. So don't give me this business about tolerance and diversity.
That was a Catholic bishop. His name's Barron, talking about his assessment of the Olympic Games. Our YouTube poll for today is, are you watching the 2024 Olympics? Yes or no? I want to read some of the comments of people coming in here. Gary said, yes, but only because my wife likes to see the gymnasts. I think the gymnasts are really taking home the gold as far as the approval goes. People have a lot of interest in them. Ender says, nope, I just don't really care. Should I? Probably, as it's our country competing. And I used to be huge on the Olympics, but nowadays I really just don't care. I wonder how much Olympics used to be a lot bigger of a deal when we didn't have so many options of things to watch. Now that you have a billion things that you can tune into any given time. I mean, the Olympics were must see, sit down, watch on the television back when I was growing up, because we had six channels to watch, and the Olympics were pretty exciting. Unless, of course, they were taking over your favorite, usually NBC show. Erica says, I'm not watching the Olympics. It just seems that they try to outweird themselves during the opening ceremony. And I'm with Annie. I just don't have time to sit down and watch. So there's a little bit of apathy there. Amanda said, we are watching. We watch very specific events each year, gymnastics being the main one because our girls compete. With that said, the athletes have trained so hard for this. Don't punish them. Brad, what was your thought on the whole thing?
Well,
did you watch them?
I didn't watch the opening ceremony. That happened on Friday, and the time zone puts it like right in the middle of this show. So I was too busy to watch anything like that. I didn't actually even want to go back and rewatch the opening ceremony. I didn't see anything on Twitter or on social media that said, hey, you need to go back and see this. This was spectacular. I'll give you an example, though. I will go back and watch them, or I'll watch them in primetime if the primetime if the time difference allows it, because I know whenever they held them in London and Mr. Bean was playing the keyboard for the opening ceremony, I thought that opening ceremony was spectacular, and it kind of peaked with Mr. Bean. And
isn't it annoying that everything has to make a freaking statement all the time?
I don't need a statement. I want to be entertained.
You know, you want to talk about inclusive celebration. What they did was they said, here's what you're going to include. Here's what you're going to like, and we are going to shove it down your face until you agree with us or you go away, so that everybody left in the room agrees.
Yeah, and the implicit statement that is being made, whether or not people realize it is whenever you are saying that we're going to be inclusive and we're going to keep these things in there, because there were several drag queens, there was a guy dressed as Dionysus or Bacchus, same
god,
different pantheon. What you're saying is this sort of thing is being excluded in the culture today, and we need to celebrate it. But if you look at culture, this isn't the thing that's being excluded. This isn't the thing that's being pushed to the side. This is the
It's about time somebody brings up LGBTQ rights.
Right.
It's about time.
My goodness. I mean, like, Kamala Harris's first campaign ad was just full of LGBTQ pride flags. That's what it was. This isn't a marginalized group. No matter how much people want to say that it is a group that is celebrated in our culture. And you can tell that because there's flags, there's people standing up for them, defending them. They're the central point.
Yeah, but are they celebrated in France?
Jeez. My point is this. They know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's virtue signaling. It's they want to score points because they believe this is what will make them look good to the... I don't even know who they're trying to impress at this point.
I don't know what you get
out of it. Yeah, I just don't know because I think people are just so over it at this point. It was like, and everything else that I saw about the opening ceremony was, it was just weird.
It was just hypersexual. Listen, I would be as annoyed and turned off about this if it was a bunch of strictly heterosexual behavior that was that sexual. I'd be going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Knock it off. And I guess as a small glimmer of light that kind of shed through this, watching, I think it was the Athens Greek one where they had the white statues in that parade. That was freaking sweet.
Yeah.
Where they were, it was like a bunch of Greek statues in motion and the way they had that presented. And then how cool is it to light the torch with a bow and arrow?
That was cool.
Every time they show that, I watched, I'm like, man, I hope he hits it. He does.
Yeah.
This is, people are tired of having to take a side every time they open up a can of beer, put on a piece of clothing, get in a specific kind of car, watch something on TV. Every time you have to qualify yourself as being righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just want to watch TV. Sometimes you just want to have a beer. Sometimes you just want to participate in something that is an everyday thing, and we are forced around every turn to have a big existential conversation about whether or not you are a bigot or a racist or a phobic something or other, like with everything we do. And I think that this Olympic ceremony has once again parted the sea to make the, you know, these people on this side, those people on that side. And we're not supposed to cross over or whatever. People are tired of having, oh God, I got to go back to my side again. I'll be right back. And then you leave and you go stand there and you're like, count me. I did the right thing. I'm on the right side. I don't hate anybody. Everybody see me. I don't hate anybody. And then you go back to your normal life until you choose the next thing. And then you've got to go through the whole exercise again.
Yeah. And so it's just so incredibly, I don't even want to say disappointing, but like I saw it and I just rolled my eyes like, oh my gosh, is this what we're doing? This is where we're at.
And you're not surprised.
No.
If they came out and they did something that was truly inclusive and unifying, listen, I'm pretty sure that if you look back at the Athens Greek sculpture one, I don't think, and I know a little bit about history, but I don't think that gay people saw that and like, they hate us. They absolutely think we're awful people. They don't even include it. Like, it's Greece.
when you say that, and this is kind of the thing, and I've been thinking about this for the longest time, and I'm sure there are some gay people out there that would agree with me when I say this. But whenever you point out that the only thing that separates gay people from other people is their sexuality, you're boiling a whole individual down into something. Their only defining characteristic is who they're attracted to.
Yeah.
And that's so incredibly...
There's a lot more to me than the fact that I'm attracted to my husband.
Right. And so, like, so you've got... I'll use Michael Sam as an example. He was celebrated in St. Louis as a defensive end, the first openly gay NFL player. But he wasn't just a gay man. He was also a football player who made it onto a team and who played on the NFL roster. There was more to his life than who he was attracted
to. Yeah, but that's what people know about him.
And it's a shame to treat people that way because you want to treat the whole individual as something. And that's why, like, they would look at those Greek statues or they would look at Mr. Bean playing the keyboard and they go, haha, that's funny. I don't feel excluded because it doesn't have anything else to do with anything outside of either music or your appreciation of Greek architecture or Greek statues or Greek art. It's just what it is. It's other parts of what people are. I get so frustrated by this boiling down of an entire group of people to who they're attracted to. And that's the only defining characteristic and the most important thing in their life.
But it's the important thing to remember, and I'm going to criticize you for having too much common sense, because power comes from division.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, do you think that when they put, they're like, oh, this is edgy. Do you think they thought it was edgy? I think they thought it was edgy.
Oh, yeah.
I think they thought we're making a statement, guys. We're part of something here. We're going to, the future is going to remember this moment. And the reason why people remember something like that is because it becomes a big conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a headline everywhere. And everybody has to choose a side. And the choosing of the sides is not whether you love people who are maybe not like you, who have a different sexual preference than you, or whether you hate them. My concern is, why are you putting this in front of children? Why do you think that's okay? There's my problem. The overt sexual nature of it, and the constant need to prove your point by exposing people who shouldn't be being exposed in that form to any kind of sexuality, it's overt and it's repetitive. We should expect it. We should not be surprised by it. Andy says on YouTube, Christianity does appear to be on the decline in general. That probably feels bad for some Christians. To understand true Christianity is to know suffering, mm-hmm. and to know oppression and to know persecution that is biblical. I mean, Brad, we don't have time for a sermon, but but you could probably go through the most prominent, notable names in the Bible, and most of them don't mean a comfortable, cozy end.
No, I would say I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but I think only one of the apostles didn't die a martyr's death.
I mean, Jesus is one of them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The idea that I have no idea what Andy's faith walk is. But the idea that Christianity appears to be on the decline, I mean, if you're familiar with Christianity and if you're familiar with the Bible, Brad, you certainly are, mm-hmm. as a pastor, it's not like the end of the Bible is like, and everybody came to know Jesus.
No, it's
I
not.
I mean, they came to know him.
Yeah. Every
tongue will confess,
but it doesn't always confess in the right manner for everybody.
Yes. And the idea that, I mean, if you're judging the success of Christianity by percentage of people who are like, yeah, that's it, that's me, there isn't a percentage that exists where it's like, okay, this is a good idea. That's not the way.
Right.
That's not the way Christianity works. So if you're looking at Christianity being on the decline, that too is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break and get Ryan Wiggins in here to get this thing back on track. The Monday Roundup, the wildest ride in the wilderness. Monday is Wiggins America with Ryan Wiggins. When we come back.
I did not know what it was like to feel like you're really breathing and not being so clogged up. I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I would definitely recommend it for someone else.
Do you suffer with chronic sinus infections, facial pain, pressure, congestion? Find out if balloon sinuplasty is the solution for you. Set an appointment today with St. Louis Sinus Centers. Call 314-332-2885. 314-332-2885. That's 314-332-2885.
Today's Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll. Are you watching the 2024 Olympics? A simple yes or no. Let us know what you think. It is 12:50. This time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning.
It's time for a $98 AC tune-up.
Missouri, it's time to vote. The Missouri primary is August 6th, and early voting is happening now. Make your voice heard. Cast your vote in the Missouri primary.
Democracy 2024.
It's happening now on 97.1 FM Talk. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, it is. This is everything you missed over the weekend. Let's start with CrowdStrike. They are offering...
Can I just insert here that all happened while I was on vacation? And I don't really 100% know the totality of, oh, that screen's not working because of CrowdStrike.
Yeah.
Well, I hate it.
Yeah. Everything else.
I'm furious about it.
Hey, everything else is back up and running because you were gone for the worst of it.
Yeah. That I just got a little bit of a hint that like it hit the fan and I'm like, I don't want to know. And I turned it all off except for that screen over there, which shows me exactly what's supposed to be happening on the show. Is not working. Is that the last thing from CrowdStrike?
I think it's the last thing in the building that's not working is me and you's screen.
In the world.
In the whole world that we look at to determine the times of things. Yeah. That happened on the Friday before, like the last Friday before you came back, right?
And it was the Friday before I got back.
So all I knew is that Mark Cox, because I come in on Friday mornings to do a hit on Mark Cox.
Come in Friday mornings to hit on Mark Cox?
It's the only time where he's kind of open to the idea.
don't walk into something.
He's in a good mood at about 8:30 on Friday. Okay, I'll come on in. What's up, Mark?
Mark, I'm sorry for a whole lot of things. Doing?
Yeah, it makes our office awkward since we share an office.
Everything's making more sense to me now.
There's a lot of, like, on air, it's great, and then we walk in the office, and it's just completely silent and chilly. It's weird.
Except for the candles. They're those man-scented candles. It's like cut grass.
Mm-hmm. We enjoy it.
If Mark's not listening.
All I know is that morning, he was told ahead of time, Mark, just so you know, you might have to do 4 hours without stopping. Like, start at 5 a.m., don't stop talking until 9.
We have some interviews that we try to keep recent or kind of evergreen interviews. They are the SOS.
Yeah.
If I went down.
You go down.
If I go kaput right
and
here.
And I go down.
Yeah, Ryan's the one who shot me. This is now the Manny Show. But if I, like, we can fire off those interviews. We had a fire.
The only times we've had to do it.
An alert go off in the building. It was like, what did it say? Abandoned ship?
Yeah, it did. It was from the 1880s.
And they were talking like pirates.
Yeah. Yar. There'll be fire.
And so we said, all right, fire the interview up, and then we can leave and... You guys get 15 minutes of non-silence, and after that, who knows? But with this, we need to have breaks.
We should. Now and then. We should have at least like a minute or two where we can kind of gather ourselves, get a drink maybe. I'm glad that we went over all that because CrowdStrike is very, very sorry about what happened.
They should be.
So sorry.
I want justice for the screen.
We can get two of these offers. They're offering their partners a $10 Uber Eats gift card. Kid you not.
Our bad.
In an email posted to social media platform X, CrowdStrike reportedly said that the company recognizes the additional work.
What is CrowdStrike's relationship with Uber Eats?
I don't think they have one. I think they're just offering, hey, we know you're working late. Maybe we can deliver you a meal.
I would think that this is huge for Uber Eats.
Uber Eats actually flagged it as fraud because so many people tried to use it all at once that they thought, oh, this has got to be some sort of scam. But it wasn't. It's real. They said, to express our gratitude, your next cup of coffee or late night snack is on us. Thanks, CrowdStrike.
Man, they can go down every week for free lunch.
I don't think our engineers would say yes to that.
No, I wasn't here. I don't know. They're usually pretty calm and chill.
Yeah.
They actually are.
They do a good job.
That's usually, like, people know what engineers and IT people are like. Our engineers are fantastic.
Yeah, they are.
They are not the stereotypical type of engineer.
Would you say that's usually kind of a panicked person? Like, oh, everything's all the time?
No,
like ER doctor?
No, when the IT person comes and tries to fix your computer, and if you're of a certain age and you've tried the basic things, you've restarted the computer, whatever, they sit down and they're like, all right, dumbest person in the world, get out of your chair.
Okay.
Jimmy Fallon did that character on Saturday Night Live. Move.
Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, honestly, if you're going from workstation to workstation and you just are restarting computers to fix them, I could kind of see where that would come from.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would do well in that life. But we have great engineers here.
Yeah, we do.
At Odyssey.
Yeah, they've done great. I actually came in.
Except for that screen.
that one screen. That Sunday night when Joe Biden dropped out of the race, I came in to do the live show version of Wiggins America, which is usually a replay from Saturday morning. But I was like, nope, can't do that one. And they were in here still working on the weekends. So good on you guys. Here's one last one before we get to the top of the hour here. Deadpool and Wolverine, a comic book adventure story that pairs two of Marvel's most popular characters, is turbocharging the box office. It is absolutely killing it. Mm. The number one rated R movie ever now released.
You guys Deadpool million. Fans, you are. You were
I went
sure.
and watched it.
Did you?
I saw the movie.
No,
yeah.
I mean like just in general. Deadpool?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen them way after the fact and enjoyed both of the movies, yeah.
They're not for me, one. Though.
No?
They didn't make that movie for me.
No, they didn't.
I guess not.
Isn't it okay to be like, eh, it's just not for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I could probably come out and like really criticize it for things that are just in opposition to what I would be comfortable watching. Mm-hmm. But I can also just acknowledge, not for me.
Yeah.
And it maybe, you know, wish it success.
I just really enjoyed a movie that's making commentary about itself as it's happening. I've never really seen a movie that did that so well as Deadpool. Did you watch this new one?
Oh, man. It was.
Is it good?
Yeah.
It's crass, right?
Yeah, it's crass. I giggled the whole way through it, though. I mean, it's
well, that's the kind of guy you are, Brad.
Crass and violent and bloody.
Okay.
But
I kind of want to go see this now.
But the comedy in it is amazing.
That's what I've heard. So it's killing it at the box office. Number one rated R movie ever. There you go.
Hooray. Good for them.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, I hope Ryan Reynolds is doing okay. So
I was too. Mint Mobile, I was like, gosh, he just sold it.
Yeah. He was going to struggle and hanging out with Taylor Swift for her money all the time. Who knows? Steve Moore, when we come back. Wiggins America with Ryan Wiggins, when we come back.
I did not know what it was like to feel like you're really breathing and not being so clogged up. I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I would definitely recommend it for someone else.
Do you suffer with chronic sinus infections, facial pain, pressure, congestion? Find out if balloon sinuplasty is the solution for you. Set an appointment today with St. Louis Sinus Centers. Call 314-332-2885. 314-332-2885. That's 314-332-2885. 332-2885.
Today's Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll. Are you watching the 2024 Olympics? A simple yes or no. Let us know what you think. It is 12:50. This time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning.
It's time for a $98 AC tune-up.
JerryKelly.com.
Missouri, it's time to vote. The Missouri primary is August 6th, and early voting is happening now. Make your voice heard. Cast your vote in the Missouri primary.
Democracy 2024.
It's happening now on 97.1 FM Talk. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, it is. This is everything you missed over the weekend. Let's start with CrowdStrike. They are offering...
Can I just insert here that all happened while I was on vacation? And I don't really 100% know the totality of, that screen's not working because of CrowdStrike?
Yeah.
Well, I hate it.
Yeah. Everything else.
I'm furious about it.
Hey, everything else is back up and running because you were gone for the worst of it.
Yeah, that I just got a little bit of a hint that like it hit the fan, and I'm like, I don't want to know. And I turned it all off, except for that screen over there, which shows me exactly what's supposed to be happening on the show. Is not working. Is that the last thing from CrowdStrike?
I think it's the last thing in the building that's not working.
World?
Is me and you's
in the
screen
world? In the world?
Yeah, in the whole world that we look at to determine the times of things. Yeah. That happened on the Friday before, like the last Friday before you came back, right?
And it was the Friday before I got back.
So all I knew is that Mark Cox, because I come in on Friday mornings and do a hit on Mark Cox.
Come in Friday mornings to hit on Mark Cox?
It's the only time where he's kind of open to the idea.
don't walk into something.
He's in a good mood at about 8:30 on Friday.
Who
I figure, okay, I'll come on in. What's up, Mark?
Mark, I'm sorry. For a whole lot of things. Doing?
Yeah. It makes our office awkward since we share an office.
Everything's making more sense to me now.
There's a lot of, like, on air it's great, and then we walk in the office and it's just completely silent and chilly. It's weird.
Except for the candles. They're those man-scented candles. It's like cut grass.
Mm-hmm. We enjoy it. It's...
If Mark's not listening.
All I know is that that morning, he was told ahead of time, Mark, just so you know, you might have to do 4 hours without stopping. Like, start at 5 a.m. Don't stop talking until 9.
We have some interviews that we try to keep recent or kind of evergreen interviews. They are the SOS.
Yeah.
If some, like, literally, if I went down.
You go down.
If I go kaput right
and
here.
And I go down.
Yeah, Ryan's the one who shot me. This is now the Manny Show. But if I, like, we can fire off those interviews. We had a fire.
The only times we've had to do it.
An alert go off in the building. It was like, what did it say? Abandoned ship?
Yeah, it did. It was from the 1880s.
And they were talking like pirates. Yeah.
Yar. That'd be fire.
And so we said, all right, fire the interview up, and then we can leave and... You guys get 15 minutes of non-silence, and after that, who knows? But with this, we need to have breaks.
We should. Every now and then. We should have at least like a minute or two where we can kind of gather ourselves, get a drink maybe. I'm glad that we went over all that, because CrowdStrike is very, very sorry about what happened.
They should be.
So sorry.
I want justice for the screen.
Maybe we can get two of these offers. They're offering their partners a $10 Uber Eats gift card. Kid you not.
Our bad.
In an email posted to social media platform X, CrowdStrike reportedly said that the company recognizes the additional work.
What is CrowdStrike's relationship with Uber Eats?
I don't think they have one. I think they're just offering, hey, we know you're working late. Maybe we can deliver you a meal.
I would think that this is huge for Uber Eats.
Uber Eats actually flagged it as fraud because so many people tried to use it all at once that they thought, oh, this has got to be some sort of scam. But it wasn't. It's real. They said, to express our gratitude, your next cup of coffee or late night snack is on us. Thanks, CrowdStrike.
Man, they can go down every week for free lunch.
I don't think our engineers would say yes to that.
No, I wasn't here. I don't know. They're usually pretty calm and chill.
Yeah.
They actually are.
They do a good job.
That's usually, like, people know what engineers and IT people are like. Our engineers are fantastic.
Yeah, they are.
They are not the stereotypical type of engineer.
Would you say that's usually kind of a panicked person? Like, oh, everything's all the time?
No,
like ER doctor?
No, when the IT person comes and tries to fix your computer, and if you're of a certain age and you've tried the basic things, you've restarted the computer, whatever, they sit down and they're like, all right, dumbest person in the world, get out of your chair.
Okay.
Jimmy Fallon did that character on Saturday Night Live. Move.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, honestly, if you're going from workstation to workstation and you just are restarting computers to fix them, I could kind of see where that would come from.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would do well in that life. But we have
either.
Great engineers here.
Yeah, we do.
At Odyssey.
Yeah, they've done great. I actually came in...
Except for that screen.
that one screen. That Sunday night when Joe Biden dropped out of the race, I came in to do the live show version of Wiggins America, which is usually a replay from Saturday morning. But I was like, nope, can't do that one. And they were in here still working on the weekends. So good on you guys. Here's one last one before we get to the top of the hour here. Deadpool and Wolverine, a comic book adventure story that pairs two of Marvel's most popular characters, is turbocharging the box office. It is absolutely killing it. The number one rated R movie ever now released.
You guys Deadpool fans, you were sure.
Watched it.
Did you?
I saw the movie.
No, yeah. I mean, like, just in general Deadpool.
Yeah,
well, I've seen them way after the fact and enjoyed both of the movies. Yeah,
they're not for me though.
No,
they didn't make that movie for me.
No, they didn't.
I guess not.
Isn't it okay to be like, it's just not for me?
Yeah absolutely.
I mean, I could probably come out and like really criticize it for things that are just in opposition to what I would be comfortable watching. Mm-hmm. But I can also just acknowledge, not for me.
Yeah.
And it may be, you know, wish it success.
I just really enjoyed a movie that's making commentary about itself as it's happening. I've never really seen a movie that did that so well as Deadpool. Did you watch this new one?
Oh, man. It was
good?
Yeah.
Are they guilty?
It's crass, right?
Yeah, it's crass. I giggled the whole way through it, though. I mean, it's
well, that's the kind of guy you are, Brad.
Crass and violent and bloody.
Okay.
But the
I kind of want to go see this now.
But the comedy in it is amazing.
That's what I've heard. So it's killing it at the box office. Number one rated R movie ever. There you go.
Hooray. Good for them.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, I hope Ryan Reynolds is doing okay. So
I was too. Mint Mobile, I was like, gosh, he just sold it.
Yeah. He was going to struggle and hanging out with Taylor Swift for her money all the time.
Yes.
Steve Moore, when we come back.